The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
All right, sweet.
Does that feel good?
That's good. That's a very good way to start the episode. Wow. Welcome, everybody. We're going to pop in with our music and that belch right there. That's going to be fucking perfect.
I can do a better one.
No, don't. We're fine. You just save it. I'm sure there's going to be some groan-inducing stories here you're going to want to belch to. That's for sure happening.
Oh, yeah.
But hello and welcome to the NPC Podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. So there are a lot of podcasts out there, or gaming podcasts out there. There's a lot of NPC podcasts out there, but only one of them hosts are strapped with fofos that make sure all your kids don't grow. So, see?
What the fuck?
Wow.
Hey, you don't know that?
Wow.
Oh my God, wow.
I gotta go. I'm gonna go back on vacation.
Yeah, you know what? No Tupac lyrics? Anyways, I'm your host, Anthony Fuentes. And of course, with me is the immediately outraged James Brizuela. What's up, James?
Yo, I'm back. Mm-hmm. Back in action.
Back in action. And of course, Mr. Alex Cordova over here. Hey.
The Nintendo hater today, boys.
Oh, today.
Get ready for that.
Bringing out the guns, huh? You're bringing
out. Ready for that.
Bringing out the red nine.
High school Cordova coming back, boys.
I don't see it in your gaming fails, so it doesn't count, dude. It's not there.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Yep. Another 30 FPS. That would be every week you would have a 30 FPS gaming fail.
Oh, man. Sure. No, we'll save it. Don't worry, boys.
All right, cool. Well, you know, we're topping off March. Actually, by the time this release, it'll be April. So welcome to April, everybody. Let's get to some of the news. And James, you got a really big story that just broke that we really got to mine into. So if you can, let us know what's up.
Breath of the Wild 2 has been canceled. No.
Don't you fucking hurt my heart like that.
No. E3 has officially been canceled once again. Yeah, despite hope from the same event company that runs PAX and Comic-Con, the ESA has officially canceled E3 2023. While the big three, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, had previously clarified they'd be skipping the event once again, Ubisoft, Sega, and Tencent's withdrawal was the final nail in the coffin. Mm-hmm. This turned into a win for Jeff Keighley as his annual Summer Game Fest officially snagged Ubisoft for a presentation on June 12th, 2023.
Dude, Jeff Keighley sent his regards. That's what he did to the entire fucking ESA and all these people. Dude, he beat the shit out of them.
I mean... Do we care anymore about E3? Like, really? Does anybody? Does anybody?
I feel like the last hype E3 was when God of War got announced.
Right.
That was like
2018.
Yeah, was it 2018? Mm-hmm.
Because it was funny because I showed Nate that video, dude, and just the orchestra and everything. Mm-hmm. And then when Kirito walked in, you just heard grown men screaming like little girls.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But it's like, after that, what I don't even remember 2019, and then 2020 was canceled from COVID, I believe,
yep,
right?
Yeah.
2021, I don't even remember it coming back. So
that's what I mean. Just, like, it's just, you know, why do we care anymore?
Well, yeah.
I mean, the thing is, it's never going to be what it was. Like, E3 was the WrestleMania of like fucking video games.
That when we were younger.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Well, they ruined it by making it public. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was just industry trade show like it had been for years, it would have been fine. But instead, they decided to make it public for some very odd reason, which, I mean, I get it because, you know, fans want to be there. So it became like Comic-Con for us, essentially. But, like, I think that's just what ruined it. Like, if they would have kept it small industry people, then, you know, maybe COVID wouldn't have affected it so bad that it's not, you know, I don't know.
No, I agree. I'm with you on that one 100%, actually, because to me, it made industry people not want to go. Like, you need to placate the people that are making E3 what it is, and it just kind of shadowed over them, unfortunately, because E3 was, that shit was built for moments. Like, it was hype, and, like, just, it was Christmas every fucking summer, but it just got diminished as the years went along. I think the last, like you said, the God of War reveal, huge. The year before that was the Switch reveal, which was fucking gigantic also.
Breath of
the Wild, everything.
Huge.
Yeah, but Jeff Keighley, dude, he really was like, no, he took advantage of his COVID, basically connections between time, and really just twisted the knife in the ESA so badly.
It's like, will anyone really miss it, though, you know? Because, look, we got all these states of play throughout the year. We get Nintendo Directs, Microsoft, whatever they do, showcases, I think they call it.
And they're still hype. They're still very hype, yeah.
I think, and it, like you said, it all starts in, you know, the beginning of summer, June, May-ish. Or, I mean, on Nintendo's every couple months, but still, it's like, I think once the big three started doing that themselves, and then, like you said, Ubisoft as much as... their little, you know, whatever,
Ubisoft Forward or Ubisoft
Showcase or whatever. Yeah, you know, they start doing that. I don't know if EA, I think EA does the same thing.
Maybe. They do, yeah. I think it's like usually after Microsoft or something.
Yeah, it's like when all these big name publishers start doing this, it's E3 was just dying a slow death, I believe.
Slow death. Yeah. No, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's just literally just a relic at this point. I mean, you know, again, I'm going to miss the E3 moments. It was a meme factory for decades, which is fucking awesome. but that, you know, we have other options now. So it's just, again, just a relic of an older time, and it's expensive to do, apparently. And Jeff Keighley is like, nah, I'm cheap. Just fucking come through. And he gives him this and the Game Awards show. So, sorry, ESA, but... You know, I guess, whatever, it was inevitable. So long, E3. I'll drink one to you.
R.I.P. I'm sure millions of people watch the directs now, so it's like they're essentially getting the same traffic they were getting at E3, but for one video while people are at home. So there's really no point in bringing it back like the way they used to. Just let it go. You know, it's all good. Just give us our directs, give us our showcases, give us whatever. We're all going to watch that and be happier for it.
Yeah. I mean, again, and they're not going to clog up my streets over here in downtown Los Angeles with traffic, so I am good.
Look at this guy. I'm
good. Although it was kind of cool seeing the installations around LA live for 2018 and 19. But by 19, I was like, oh, cool, E3's here. And then just kept walking. So, you know, not that big a deal, really, even for locals. All right, well, that's it. E3's done. RIP. It's not coming back next year. I don't think it is. If they're going to try to do it, it's stupid. So
no, I think it's dead in the water now.
Mm-hmm,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Not here. Technical difficulties. Oh, look, we're back. Hey.
Scene.
A little slate hitting right there. Anyways, Dune writer hired for live-action Gears of War movie. What? So Academy Award nominee John Spates?
Whatever. Sure. I don't know. I didn't look it up, but that sounds about right.
Nahasa not going to work here anymore. Co-writer credits include Dune Part 2, and of course Doctor Strange. He has been signed to pen the Netflix adaptation of the live-action Gears of War movie. This writer here went on record to say, quote, Gears of War is one of the all-time great action games, with vivid characters and beautifully designed world, and a combat system that drives home the lethality of war and the importance of standing by your squad mates. It wants to be cinema, and I'm thrilled to have the chance to help that happen. End quote. So, okay, discussion here. Is he trying to, like, say this is going to be my video game Saving Private Ryan here? Like, what's his angle?
I mean, we all played Gears of War back in our days of Apartment 456, you know, together with the boys, Mikey, Enrique, all them. And I'm not going to lie, I'm actually surprised it took him this long. Because think about it, Gears of War was like already a movie in a way. And now in 2023, like, I don't even remember when Gears of War 1 came out, but it was very
2006.
Early. Was it? Okay, so yeah, what are we talking? Almost 2 decades later, they're going to startly do the movie. But I mean, I'm excited? Question mark?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, kind of? I don't know. Because, again, Gears of War is not as hot as it used to be. So it's my...
Oh, yeah. The last two sequels... Diminished. Yes, the last two sequels have really not done anything for the franchise. I honestly think that they should have stopped at 3.
Yes, kept it a trilogy from that generation and make everybody want it.
Yeah. And if you want to do a couple spinoffs here and there, that's all good. But, like, I love the boy Ian McIntyre, who was... Marcus Fenix's son in Gears of War 4, JD, I think his name was, and you know, he's that Spartacus, for crying out loud, you know, from from the Star series. Mm-hmm. I love him, great actor. I love all that shit. But like, yeah, it was just, it was weird. Gears of 4 and 5 were just missing that OG feel. It was weird, you know. The gameplay hit and missed, but honestly, you know, I can't recommend those to like anyone who's a huge Gears of War fan, because it's like,
just play one know. And play one.
Yeah,
three
one through three.
Just
yeah,
play
one
them again. They remastered them. They remastered.
Well, no.
Them.
Well, I was gonna say they should do a proper remaster. Is what they should do.
Oh, and not an upscaling, I'm talking, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Upscale it. Give us all that. Yeah, they're backwards compatible, but I would go for a full-ledged remake of 1 through 3 trilogy, kind of like they did the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah.
And people have been asking for that, the Marcus Fenix Collection. And if it's like there's one other Xbox IP, it's Gears of War. They deserve it. Like, literally.
They're going to remaster it with cinema, okay? That's how they're going to fucking do it. That's the aim here. The remastering one with cinema. So, see?
You know, and you know, it's like, we played that shit co-op. Remember, I mean, all four of us. What other game have we played that was a four-player co-op campaign like Gears of War? The only thing that comes to mind is Halo. Halo 3.
Yeah, Halo 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was it. But it's like, since then, we're fucking now, what, two generations later? No. One, no, yeah, yeah, we, yeah, no, we are two generations.
Two whole generations.
We're two generations later here, and we have not had that same experience that we experienced on our 360, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, Mad World, remember that? I mean, you guys remember that shit. We're playing Mad World when the boy Dom. Mm-hmm. It's like, man. But
and three great games. Like, just back-to-back fucking bangers, yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, and it's funny because Nate was playing them, and I wanted to replay them with him. We went through one, and he didn't wait for me for two.
Ah.
So he straight up just jumped into two, fucking ran through it. I think he's on three now, but yeah, I kind of want to.
Such a good fucking game. Like, yeah.
But the only thing I'm apprehensible about is the fact that Netflix is the one doing it.
I know. You know? That's kind of got me also. They have so much budget. Really.
Like Castlevania, top tier. Right? The Resident Evil series, I personally haven't watched it, but from what I saw, I was like, oof. You know? Oof. Don't know about that.
No, Gears is very effects heavy, too. Like, there's going to be a lot of creature shit going on, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean.
What do you think, James?
All I gotta say is, if Dave Bautista is in Marcus Fenix, dude, I don't care. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it. I don't give a shit. Let's move on.
I do love that cast. No, that's actually, that's a great bit of casting. He would be so fucking awesome as Marcus Fenix.
Well, I mean, that guy's been campaigning for it for like 20 years. Like, he's been asking to play that role. And I don't know, man. I mean, I just, like, I feel if they keep doing this to like every video game that was good, you know, that's a good property, they're going to ruin it eventually, because I mean, they've had successes, like even Uncharted, even though it went a weird direction, it was still a success.
They still make good money.
Yeah, it made good money and, you know, everything, but like eventually they're just gonna fuck everything up, and like I feel like they're already doing that with the Twisted Metal series, and how that's gonna be on Peacock for some reason. I'm like, okay, so you pick like NBC to give us arguably, like, one of the most violent video games that's ever been created.
Like, sadistic shit that we all play. Right. Like, those storylines were really fucked up. And we were playing that shit when we were, like, 9.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's a little troublesome that's going to Netflix. But I just, like, we don't have... Just because video game adaptations are doing well now, we don't have to do that to every adaptation. Mm-hmm. Or we don't have to adapt everything. Like, dude, just give us another Sonic and I'm good. Like, you know?
Yeah,
that's all I need.
Yeah, and again, Gears of War, it's definitely like a almost a Michael Bay-y, I think, type of thing. Like, right. It's a I think game.
I think just because of the creature factor, the alien factor, it's gonna be like Halo. Like, it's just gonna not work because there's too much that has to go in that CGI wise and story wise, and I think they're just gonna fuck it up.
I saw too is. That made me a little apprehensive after they announced that this guy is writing it, is that Cliffy B, I can't say his last name.
Yeah.
But, you know, the creator, pretty much, you know, the guy that was part of Epic, he was part of Gears 1 through 3. He retweeted this, you know, when they announced it, that, oh, you know, John Spates is writing it. He said, oh, hell yeah. He's like, great writer. let me know if you need consultation. So the fact that they have not consulted the actual creator or a very influential, you know, creator in the Gears of War franchise is very concerning to me.
He's because the Xbox Druckmann right there, man. Get him on there.
Yeah. So the fact that he's just kind of like waiting for the phone call and they haven't called him yet. I mean, why would you make a video game adaptation, without the creator or a heavily influenced hand in the process, right? Mm-hmm. Like you just said, when Last of Us had Neil Druckmann, the boy Corey Balrog is having a say in the God of War series, which is like my one saving grace about that Amazon Prime series.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's confirmed or not. I can't remember if they got David Jaffe about the Twisted Metal. But I'll have to look that up.
Jamie, can you pull that up?
we'll have to look that up. But I feel like the way for these things to succeed is bring in the fucking people that made it what it is, you know?
Yeah, they try to make it cinematic in their games themselves.
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the same time, not everybody's Neil Druckmann. Like, Neil Druckmann wrote a masterpiece both times. And so, like, I'm not taking anything away from the guy that did Gears of War or whatever. Like, the first three games are great. But those pale in comparison to me compared to two Last of Us games.
Yeah, in terms of storytelling, that makes sense.
Right. Yes, so I think that when the Gears of War games originally came out, storytelling and gaming wasn't there yet. It was getting there, but it wasn't there. So, like, you know, I don't know. I'm with you.
I think maybe having the creator, though, will give them, like, that person knows fundamentally what the game is. So at least
that person made the game. So
they don't have to have every hand in the cookie jar, but they can at least provide some. Like, it's better than, like, tweeting, please call me. there's a big disparity there. There's a degree that he could be involved in that I think would still make it pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's the harm in that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All they got to do to be successful is just make sure Marcus Phoenix is naked in an episode for some reason.
Jesus
you know?
Christ.
I mean, that's what they do in Halo.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
And for some reason that got renewed for a second season, so, you know.
Oh god.
I guess that's what matters.
Yeah, Master Cheeks, dude. Master Cheeks.
Master Cheeks, I was going to say, I just really hope, like, deep down that Microsoft sees how good The Last of Us was as almost a one-to-one adaptation of the story, like the game story.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? We did our thing on season one. People didn't like it. Let's just get to fucking Halo, man. Like, you know, the Master Chief, he can have a quote-unquote story, but just keep his fucking helmet on, dude. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
And that actor isn't even like a fucking super, super famous actor. It's like, you know?
Yeah.
Pablo Shriver, I believe his name is. It's like, dude, just come on, bro. Like, you say you're a fan of the game and you sign off on this whole, like, oh, Master Chief has feelings and takes off his helmet. Like, come on, bro. No, you're not a fan. But,
getting all triggered right now. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to save that trigger. I'm going to save that triggerness for a couple stories later. But right now, I'm gonna trigger a different type of trigger.
It's going to get going through a whole. It's going to be a very heated news section. Please tell us.
Yes. Okay, so the next big story, okay? EA, Electronic Arts, so sons of a bitches, are delisting numerous Battlefield games, okay? So EA recently announced they are delisting some classic fan favorite Battlefield games from digital storefronts very, very soon. Beginning April 28th, 2023, Battlefield 1943, Battlefield Bad Company, and Battlefield Bad Company 2 are all being headshotted with no revive in sight.
Damn, Bad also, Company 2? Fuck off.
Also, to throw some salt on the wound, the online servers for these games will be going down, discontinued forever at the end of this year, December 8th, 2023. So, EA, fuck you, buds. Yeah. How about that?
I mean, again, does anybody care anymore? You know, I mean,
I think Bad Company 2 has a huge following.
Okay,
honestly,
but okay. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, Battlefield, like, look, Battlefield lost to Call of Duty. They lost.
They did.
They lost. They're going to continue to lose. They're not going to be able to catch up anymore. And so, you know, just stop. I mean, that last Battlefield game was horrible. I mean, the beta was just terrible. It fucking sucked.
Yeah, they're and still trying to fix it. Yeah,
I know, and they still can't. And they still can. So it's like, you know, Call of Duty figured it out. They found the right balance between a battle royale and multiplayer, you know. Yeah. And they even resurrected the same shit that we've been playing, like back in Battlefield, you know, with Modern Warfare 2. But they still, they knocked it out of the park. And so now it's like Battlefield just, I don't know. For me, it's like, why don't you just go back to what you did better, which it was like Battlefield 2 era, or I don't know. Man, just
I think 3 was pretty good. Well, I was going to say, I think 3 and 4 were the pinnacle Battlefield. It's when they started doing... Oh, I'm sorry. Bad Company 2 also has a huge following, like I said. But me personally, I played Bad Company 2 on the Xbox, and I can see the potential. Mm-hmm. But that was another thing that I was going to actually bring up that we need to talk, we need to touch on in a future episode or something, is the fact that, like, think about it. We had a 360 game in this instance, that Bad Company 2, for example. Mm-hmm. Even Battlefield 2 on the PlayStation fucking 3 and shit, we had, like, fully destructible environments. If someone was hiding in a fucking building, you can drop an airstrike on them. That building just got destroyed, right?
It made the world, like, very organic, yeah.
Exactly. We're now in a fucking, what, 12th or 11th generation console. Like, what game nowadays has destructible environments? Call of Duty doesn't. Mm-hmm. Battlefield 2042 kind of does, but not to the level of the previous Battlefield games.
Whoa. They gave us tornadoes, okay?
that was another thing that I was going to talk about, is those Levolution games in 3 and 4, where they, like, actually changed the map. That shit, like, why would you take that out? Why?
What was that one with the center building that when you destroyed it, like, everybody would go up there in the elevator, and it was 3, and then it would destroy it, and it would become a water level.
Yeah, there was a subway level where if you blew the pillars, the fucking subway would get flooded, and it would cut off entire corridors and all that shit. And it's like, we're now in the next gen, quote unquote, level of gaming, and they don't have that. No game has that. Like, you know, like...
Yeah, it's just so dumb. No, I'm with you. Well, also, I think that's very resource intensive, and they're just like, well, people will still buy it if we do less of an effort. So it's just a lack of effort.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But this also gets into the whole thing of, like... Because they also wanted... This, it's not on here, but they wanted to delist Mirror's Edge 2, which has no online component. Mirror's Edge. And it took fans being like, hey, I still like playing that fucking game. Right. So, like, it's just generally, like... scooping away games from people who really make, you know, Bad Company 2 also has a great campaign. So it's like there's all these experiences you're taking away from customers for no reason. That's the shitty part.
That
sucks and all too, but I mean it's also like the staff they need to probably keep up the servers and everything like that. Like,
I mean, yeah, for they, online they prob- play fine. But I'm talking right, about like they, just having the game.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. You know.
Like, well that was the thing. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, I got booted. Fuck.
Yeah, that was the thing. I mean, I'm going to talk to you over. You
guys It lagged.
I don't know what happened there. It got off super quiet.
Yeah, we're good.
Did it disconnect because it got quiet?
Yeah, no, it lagged me out for a second, but we're good.
It happens
all the time.
All
right. So anyway, Battlefield sucks.
I was going to say, this is the thing I was going to talk about later with you know, Nintendo closing down the shops, is that it kind of sucks because, you know, hard copy games, right? You can go back and replay them if you choose to. If you want to have a collection, you can go back and replay them. Right now, delisting digital games is kind of like, you know, like it's very controversial in a way.
Yeah,
people are mad that you're literally deleting a game from existence, quote unquote, in a way. For some people. Not everyone, but for some people, right?
That's fair. In that regard, that is messed up because people are, you know, we're all spending $60 to $70 on these games. Even the ones that are back in the day were $60. So I understand that. From that aspect, like that's jacked up. They can't just do that and take away a game that you rightfully paid for.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I understand not having the resources to allocate for these games to stay active as far as the multiplayer component is concerned.
Yeah, that's fine to me. That makes sense.
Yeah. Taking away the game completely, that is jacked up. And, you know, I don't know. I guess, like, I'm a little more biased because I'm not really much of a replay person unless, that game is like amazing.
So. No, it's the opposite. I'm such a replay person. It actually stops me from playing new games, which is not a good habit.
Yeah, it's just the conservation side of it, you know? Like, yeah, I can understand shutting down the servers. That's fine. But it's funny because I saw a tweet about this guy that is really, really heavy on offline bots. And it's like, if you're going to shut down an online server for Battlefield games, right? Why don't you just give us the option to play offline as far as like either multiplayer or LAN even, you know, like, yeah, like make it so that if you want to get a group of friends together and play that game, let us play it offline. Like, it's, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's coding and issues like that, but that's kind of where we lost track in the last two generations, you know?
Yeah.
I think the 360 was the last console that really had the whole LAN, quote-unquote, system LAN down.
Cars were so good on 360.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, you know? Like,
so good. No need for an account, none of that shit.
I mean, why doesn't the EA just pass it over to someone, too? People have, like, their own dedicated servers, and they buy them and whatnot.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, like, if you want to keep this up, that's on you. Keep it up. But, like, we're out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they should do something like that. Then it's like, okay, well, then it's on the community to keep it alive. Like, I talked about this on the horror pod.
Yeah.
About that Penguin RPG that people kept alive for some fucking reason. But, you know, whatever. So it's like, but, like, leave it up to the community to keep it alive. I guess, you know, delisting a game and just killing it altogether is pretty jacked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like EA is, like, the master right now of delisting shit, too.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
they're the master of just doing shady shit, period.
No, they're a master doing shady shit first, taking the heat, and everyone being like, oh, we can do that now. Right. Yeah, yeah, hey, they set the precedent very high.
Yeah. Speaking of shady shit, Flynn, how about that next news article, huh, bud?
Yeah, speaking of amazing, the opposite of EA over here. Actually, that's not true with the 3DS shit. But anyways,
I'm ready. I'm ready for it, bud.
We finally got new information on Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. That's right. So Nintendo's 12-minute-long presentation highlighted new landmasses above an updated Hyrule, additional enemy types, and new powers such as Recall, which had a hilarious comment on fucking Instagram, Fuse, Ultra Hand, and Ascend, which are just the ones they're showing right now. You could also, of course, build vehicles, stealing a page from a weirdly cult classic game, Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. So discuss Nintendo's latest presentation on Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
First, I'd like to say that your comparison is stupid.
I was going to say, if there's one game to compare it to, why would you pick
Banjo-Kazooie
Nuts and Bolts?
That's the meme going on right now. Everybody's memeing the Banjo-Kazooie Zelda.
Like, of all the games that require you to build stuff, Banjo and Kazooie
Nuts and Bolts
is the game. Like, dude, Minecraft, fucking Fallout,
Valheim, dude.
Valheim. Dude, Sons of the Forest. There's so many, like, it's unbelievable. And this is a game that people are talking about.
This is the one that is said in every comment on the thing.
Okay,
the
now
the canoe.
Now I understand why Alex hates it.
I was gonna say Nuts and Bolts. Enough said, my boy.
Besides what our heated conversation with Alex earlier, which we'll probably bring up a little bit later in our fails. Anyway, I'm excited. I mean, you know how big of a Zelda fan I am as well, besides obviously Fwen, but I think the new powers are great. The caveat to that is I don't like Ascend. I think that's kind of stupid, and I think that kind of takes away from, like, what you were doing before and climbing, which even though it was annoying, I found very, I don't know, relaxing.
Like, you built towards it with your stamina meter.
Exactly. So shit. In that regard, it's like, if you're having to also get stamina again in the sequel, but you use Ascend, it's just, it's a mechanic that doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, it looks great. I can't wait to make a canoe.
Yeah. So, oh, my canoe's going to be fucking awesome. It's going to be great.
I mean, people still, like, there's still crazy people that are doing trick shots and trick everything in Breath of the Wild now. I can't even imagine what kind of videos are going to come up with people, like, floating on canoes in the air and, like, sniping, like, you know, goblins and stuff.
Dude, they already do that in regular Breath of the Wild.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, they have vehicles and they put literally the Guardian on a platform and have sky battles.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that people just fucking did which is hilarious. And now they actually have an official tool to make shit like that happen.
I do like the I think it's the Ultra Hand where you be able, where you can fuse weapons now.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Be like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I this is not an exaggeration. I've said this many times over. But when Breath of the Wild first came out, I literally sat there for 3 hours cooking. I really couldn't get enough of it, and I was like, I just want to figure out what I'm making, all these recipes, and I can imagine I'm just going to spend 3 hours running around trying to fuse everything.
Same. Yeah, I can see. I feel like this version, this 12-minute presentation, was geared specifically towards, like, here is the extra tools you get to make Zelda happen in a new way. And I'm pretty sure they're going to have other presentations highlighting different aspects of the game, but this is more of just, like, we know you guys like physics. We know this is why the game literally is sold more than any other Zelda, more than most Marios, more than a lot of games. Like, literally, just here is what you guys do, here are more tools to do it, and a better world with way more to it. So there's a lot going on in this particular game.
Nintendo, if you want to take things a little dark, how about we be able to fuse Boko Blends, you know? Just kill them, fuse them together, and there you go. We got a corpse weapon.
Yeah, fuse it on a stick and just wave it to their family. Look what I did. You're next. Join your family.
Yeah, I killed your father. You're next. Yeah.
Okay, so if I can take a page out of James and say, okay, here's the thing. All right, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Right. Yeah. Give it to. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. We're gonna save this for after. This is discussion later.
No. Let's bring the heat right now. Let's go.
No.
I was gonna say. Look at. Okay. I get it. Trust me. I get it. I fucking get it right now.
I don't think you do though.
2017.
I don't think you do.
2017. Breath of the Wild. Amazing fucking game. I get it. You know. I was like, you know, Skyrim in Zelda type of thing. That was what it was compared to back in the day. It was pretty much, though, you know, like we've been saying, it's our own thing, right? You can cook. You can fucking go and do shrines. You can go climb a fucking building and whatnot, okay? I get it. 2017, all about it.
Get to the point.
Here we are in 2023. Here we are in 2023, okay? Guess what? If I wanted to go make rafts and shit, I'll go play fucking Valheim, Minecraft, whatever. I just was expecting, like, that next step in a way, okay? I'm not going to say I'm not going to play it, and I really hope I'm wrong, but I was expecting, like, a mind-blowing fucking 10 minutes, and all I got was Legend of Zelda Minecraft, Legend of Zelda fucking Valheim, and, like you said, the powers, I was a little disappointed with the whole, like, oh my god, a whole power, I can go through a fucking ceiling. It's like, come on, dude, like, really, like, that's what we got.
I mean, that's the weakest one, but
I mean, I get it. I trust me, I get it. I actually liked, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't say this in the group thread, but I like the whole, like, you can collect all these things and make, like, that tracking arrow, right? With the keys eyes or whatever.
Yeah,
or that was cool.
And all that, yeah.
Like, I get it. That was cool because I remember in Breath of the Wild, it was like, oh my god, what the fuck do I have 98 fucking blue, what are they called? Blue jellos or blue?
Yeah, the choo-choo.
Choo-choos. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck do I need choo-choos for? So, like, that part was kind of cool where you can kind of just craft on fly, and I get that. That's cool. But I was just kind of expecting, like, that next jump in a way. Because let's not forget that we talked about, I believe it was last episode, when where your boy Bowser over there, Doug Bowser, was talking about he thinks that the $70 price tag will be justified by the next quote-unquote experience that, you know, consumers get with this new Zelda.
And they only show 12 minutes, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Again, like I said before, it's focused on your tools. Now, I think you're underestimating what you can do with these fucking tools. Like, okay, things right. like rewind and fuse and all that stuff. Like, we're seeing the Nintendo version of, like, hey, casuals are going to do this. But also, nerds are going to do
I was going to say, I don't know if it was the fact that these Nintendo presentations are always just so, like, corny as fuck, to where, like, you know, you know, it's like,
oh,
it's,
no, I got hit by wind. I fell down. Oh,
exactly. Wow. Right. I don't know if that, like, adds another layer of just, like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, and that's all Nintendo presentations, right?
Yeah, it's literally, I mean, every Direct is like
Miyamoto has done that numerous times where he's just like, oh no, Mario, fuck, you know?
Yeah, he lost his hat. Oh, look, his hat has eyes on it now. Mario Odyssey, bitch. Like,
I get it, dude. You know, Japanese culture, fucking, I love it. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's like, we waited fucking 6 years for this, dude. Like, hey, blow my mind,
not,
please.
It's not all of it. It's not, you're in the first part of the marketing campaign, all right?
Hold on. May I remind you that the differences between Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess and Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword weren't that different, but they were both great games. I mean, you know.
And both vastly different games. Yeah.
You know, it's the same. Look, it's the same recipe, and you're going to play it, and you're going to fucking love it. So stop complaining. It's going to be okay. They gave you only 12 minutes, dude. They didn't even give you enough to even base an idea of what you think is going to happen in the game at all.
I think there's piecemealing it to us. They're like, listen, okay, shh. Now that you know this, we're going to tell you about the world. We're going to tell you about the story later on. And they're giving us what basically how they've been promoting their games up until now. Like, they're showing aspects of it.
They're all petting you like the Joker, like, shh, 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 shh.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I think specifically did the Tools version specifically because of how the online community plays Breath of the Wild and why it's still in discussion. It's literally all your powers.
Dude, that was enough, and I'm like, hell yeah, I can't wait to play.
Dude, the
open
islands.
I get it.
No, you don't.
I get it.
No, you don't.
I get it.
No,
but I'm not paying $70. I'm paying $50 for it. So
yeah, that's fine. I'll pay $50 also.
I'm gonna pay $70 and I'm gonna fucking enjoy it. That's what I'm gonna do. Take my money, Nintendo. Okay.
Because again, you know me. Breath of the Wild is literally my favorite game of all time. So I am biased here. But you know, to me, every Zelda has always relied on its engine for at least a few installments. Yeah. It's interesting to see because this was the biggest rehaul in any Zelda engine ever, and they finally get a second game.
What was the time gap between Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, though?
No, that was 3 years.
Yeah, maybe that was my
four
fault.
Four years.
Maybe that was my fault for expecting something like that. You know, well, you go from cel shaded to...
That's also much different technology back in the day, and also... It's a different motivation because the Zelda team back then realized they fucked up with Wind Waker by making it two of their own thing, and people wanted a sequel to Ocarina of Time, so they rushed it to give people that experience. This time, they didn't rush that shit at all. They're like, no, we want to do this. So they just made the game they wanted to do.
I should go back and look. Remember how what did they tease? They teased the Breath of the Wild 2, like... Originally, wasn't it supposed to be called Breath of the Wild 2, Flynn? Like, back in the day? Didn't they tease it?
They just called it the sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what they called it. All right. Yeah. I remember that they announced that it was going to be the same engine and all that shit. But I just remember, like, the first teaser was, like, a very type of dark, like, Link was... I don't know if his hand was...
Yeah, like, they just showed his hand. And like, look, he's got a robotic hand. I was like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even need to explain it. I was like, yeah, I'm in. Let's go.
I think we're getting more. More is going to be rolling out. We still have 5 weeks. They're literally going to just dilly-dally until they get to release time.
I don't care, dude. I don't need to see anything else. I'm buying it. I'm playing it.
Yeah. It's day one.
You know what I saw? You know what I saw today, too, though? It's kind of funny. Just a quick little tidbit is the fact that everyone's all like, you know, Nintendo's, like, you know, barely prepping or promoting Breath of the Wild, and that releases in May. But here we are fucking 3 weeks away from Advance Wars. We haven't heard shit, and they're going to wonder why it fucking sells like shit.
That's true. I know.
And they were like, what happens if we promote Metroid Dread? Oh, shit, it sold good? Damn, what the fuck did we do? Like, someone made a meme with that.
It's such a Nintendo thing where they're like, you know what? Not worth it, please.
Well, that's what this person was saying. It's like, I'm calling it right now. Advance Wars is gonna sell like shit. Nintendo's gonna shelve it for fucking 10 years.
Yeah.
Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. While they're over here promoting fucking Tears of the Kingdom, and it's like, dude, come on, Nintendo, just fucking promote your games, bro. Like, everyone, how long have you been wanting an Advance Wars? Like,
dude, give me a next gen Advance Wars. I need a current gen Advance Wars. That's what I want. Yeah, I'll buy the new one and just, you know. whatever, just to give them the money. But, like, literally, see, they fucking dangle the carrot. They're like, what? You want more Star Fox? How about this one with shitty controls and the same levels you played before? No? What? You didn't like that? Well, we're not going to go back to it now because you didn't like that shit we gave you. And they do this where I'm just like, I'm still going to buy it. Like, take one. We got one more story. Right. Let's go, James.
Yeah, I'll save that. I'll save it for later.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, maybe, yeah, maybe this will shut this guy up. Yeah. But it dropped, well, today, which isn't today for when this comes out. So anyway, the entire, and I mean the entire cast of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is coming back for a brand new anime series on Netflix.
Ooh, yeah.
Michael Cera, Elizabeth Winstead, whatever her name is, Chris Evans, Brie Larson, everybody that had a part in the movie.
Anna Kendrick too, right?
Give
Anna
my Kendrick. Boy Brandon Routh some fucking
Brandon respect. Routh is Brandon excuse me. Brandon Routh is coming back. Aubrey Plaza is coming back.
Oh, my girl.
Everybody's coming back. So the series has been in production since January 2022 and will be animated by Science Saru, who have worked on critically acclaimed series like The Night is Short, Walk on Girl, Space Dandy, and Star Wars Visions. Let's go.
Yeah, that's a good pedigree right there, actually. So they've been in animation for a long time, like over a decade. And from what, like, I don't remember, I didn't recognize all the stuff that they did, but from the stuff that I've watched that they've done, fantastic. Like,
I mean, Space who cares? Dandy,
yeah.
Let's just look. Star Wars Visions. Go watch it. That's all you need.
See?
Just stop, dude. Just Star Wars Visions. Look at the fight scenes and everything they did for that show. And then imagine that with Scott Pilgrim characters. Boom, done.
See, and that's the thing.
Don't you talk to me about grammar.
I'm so glad they went the anime route with this, though. Like, it's definitely fitting within Scott Pilgrim. And again, to me, The Night is Short, Walk on Girl is actually a very, like, Academy-level movie that I'm like, damn, they really have that range. And they're giving, like, Edgar Wright's producing it. Yeah. Like, they have literally everybody they need to make this a banger. And it's a series. So we get a lot of different stories, or it's going to have an extended story, which is fantastic.
Did they say it's going to be a sequel or anything like that? Or
I mean, okay. I would assume that it's probably going to follow the video games more, I guess. Right. I don't know if it's going to be like a one-for-one like extension of, you know, the movie, but I don't care. I'm excited.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was going to say, all I know is you're going to be dust, and the cleaning lady is going to clean you up on a Monday.
Oh, oh my gosh. No, this is...
Wait, what was the other quote? New fucking gelato's vegan? Or gelato's not vegan?
Not vegan?
Fucking, milk and egg, bitch.
Parmesan's not vegan?
I'm a little sad they didn't mention Thomas Jane as a vegan police, but
that's what happens. Oh, dude, you didn't even mention the boy Chris Evans back as Lucas Lee, dude.
I did say Chris Evans.
He did up top.
Bad. I'm sorry.
I didn't hear that.
It's okay.
My bad.
Yeah, dude, you're all drunk on Link hatred right now.
Hey, listen, it's going to be covered. It's fine. Yeah.
You don't know shit about fucking Scott Pilgrim.
That one meme. This is gonna be great. It's gonna be.
I mean, the funny thing is, I forgot the actor's name, but he's coming back as Young Neil, and I was like, well, he's not gonna be Young Neil anymore because he's probably gonna be like late 20s, early 30s. But anyway,
Jesus.
Is I think the one thing to point out is like, this cast back in the day, they were all up and comers. Now they are A-list as fuck, for the most part. True. Like most of this cast, they're like huge. So to see them come back and like honor the project that really helped put them on the map, there's a lot of love in this. I'm really happy that we're getting this, and I'm looking forward to a trailer. I want to see this animation. That's my big.
Yep. Thing. I'm interested in the animation too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, well, that was news, guys. How about a couple leaky rumor mills, and then let's all just jerk off over a single four after that, because that's what we're going to talk about.
I mean, I'd like to talk about it. I don't know if I'm going to jerk off to it.
You guys, all right, you do what you need to do. It's going to be...
Look, dude, if you're going to be wanking it while we're recording,
I put the gain down. That's why I put the gain down.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't hate your ice cubes anymore. That's
look,
good,
I don't also like you calling your penis the game, so...
What else am I going to call
boys,
it? Anyways,
boys night out. All right, here we go. Ready? Okay, so now we're getting into our leaky rumor mill.
Yeah.
So one of the big stories that came out, actually a little under the radar, but Insomniac Games, they are promoting a new dialogue technology. So recently, during a live stream from Insomniac over on Twitch, lead engine programmer Elaine? I'm not really sure how to say that. Elan? Okay, let's just say Elan Ruskin revealed, quote, "There are some very cool dialogue technologies coming out in the next game," end quote. Is this Spider-Man 2? Is it Wolverine? Is it branching dialogue trees? Is it NPC interactions? I don't know. But that's all that they tease us with.
Okay.
So, and to little cap off that tease, Spider-Man 2, speaking of it, so the Venom actor, Venom voice actor, Tony Todd, Candyman himself, recently let slip that the game is releasing in September of 2023 with a massive publicity push coming in August.
I love Tony Todd. He's so old, he don't give a fuck. He's like,
I don't know if you saw his tweets, but he was like, "Oh, sorry guys, totally ignore the previous tweet I said where the Spider-Man game is coming out in 2023, wink wink." Like, that's yeah, he was like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that." But yeah, he was like, pretty much
he
like,
knew what he was doing.
Like, what are you gonna tell me
they were probably like, "Tony Todd, give us a little tease," and he's like, "All right, I got you." And
yeah, then they were pretty, like, they were exactly
like, "All right, now walk it back," and he was like, "Okay, I'm gonna quote walk it back," end quote. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it was. But I don't know, I mean, they really haven't said what this dialogue technology is and of course what game it's coming out in, but it'd be interesting if they're gonna do like a little Mass Effect type of thing with Spider-Man 2. I mean because that's their next game, honestly.
You know what's gonna happen 6 weeks before release? You're gonna see 12 minutes of footage and be like, "Look at that dialogue NPC technology right there, isn't it so different? Wow,
oh my god, funny." Oh, you no. actually got If there was one person I would let borrow my PlayStation 4 to play Spider-Man, it's you, Flynn.
I know, but still. Benign upgrade, but you're going to be like, "No, let's just innovate it."
I want to go on record by saying if Spider-Man 2 is anything like Mass Effect, I'm going to be super pissed.
Oh, that's right. You don't like Mass Effect.
No, dude. Mm. Fuck all that dialogue. Let's get to the action, baby. It's Spider-Man.
I'm about Mass Effect dialogue trees.
I think you know, people have said this too, where it's like, the next game is Spider-Man 2. Wolverine's not coming out till at least next year, if that.
I'm hearing 2025, 2026. See,
their next game is Spider-Man 2. So it has to be in this game. What they're going to do with it, who knows? I mean, they really have not released any type of gameplay details. Are you going to play as Miles Morales and Peter Parker? Who knows? But
I mean, I'm hoping that... I'm really hoping that it's going to be a full co-op, because
that'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
Then we can tag team it all day. I'm really hoping, because they showed them in the trailer, and I'm like, all right. Well, if they're showing both of them, like, I mean, obviously, I don't mind playing as both, like switching off, like, you know, like Grand Theft Auto 5. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be cool, right? But if they make it a full co-op game where you can play either or, that would be incredible, because there hasn't been, I mean, going back to like what you were saying about Gears of War, but for some reason, good co-op games got abandoned. Completely abandoned. Yeah. And like, we need something like that again, where you can literally play the entire game co-op. And if it were something like Spider-Man, like, imagine just zipping through the city together. Like, that to me just would be amazing. So we'll see what happens.
It's nice to enjoy a gaming story with someone else. It's actually really fun when the levels are designed for multiple people and like the experience is tailored to that. Like, that's great.
I mean, you haven't played it yet, but Spider-Man, you deal with a lot of enemies at once, and you're like, there's towers where you take on a shitload more enemies, and to do that co-op would be amazing.
You know,
and also because Peter Parker and Miles Morales have different powers within the game. So, I mean, to be able to use those in tandem and do combos together, that'd be incredible. So
I can hear the happiness in your voice right now, James. Jesus Christ.
Spider-Man is amazing. It's like,
That's what I hear.
It's one of the best games that's come out in the last 5 years, easily. Like, mm-hmm. it's that Spider-Man is how good Batman Arkham City or Arkham Asylum was when it first came out. They took that same style of fighting and everything and made it in a Spider-Man game, and it was incredible. And the story was good. Everything about it was incredible. So, I mean, I'm just excited to see what they could possibly do with it, and I'm really hoping for co-op. That's all.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. No,
it's like Spider-Man, I'm sorry, fun. Spider-Man, mm-hmm. PS4, and Miles Morales were like the last two games that I platinum besides Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah. And it's like those, that's the thing, is like a game, I don't want to fucking get balls deep into a game unless it like really, really has that gameplay. And that was both Spider-Man games.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, what I've heard from a lot of people, and I think what great games, what makes a great game great, is just the act of moving and just playing, even without all the bells and whistles, is fun. Yeah. And like that, just having that, because not every game does that. Some games are just standard. Like a game that goes above and beyond to make your interaction with the world and everything around it just hard to put down, to me, is the mark of brilliance right there. That's why Breath of the Wild to me is up there. I'm sure that's why Spider-Man people regale it for just the gameplay itself.
And then even like new suits that have come out, they've still been adding those to the game. Like, you know, it came out in 2019, right?
2016. Spider-Man PS4 was, I think, 2018, dude.
2018. I'm way off. Anyway, my point is, like, they're still adding suits to it that you can, that are free downloads, and you can go back in and wear them, and you know, like the Spider-Verse suit and like everything. It's just, it's such a cool, it's just a world like they keep adding to. And
it's made with love. Yep.
Yep. Insomniac, dude. Name me one bad Insomniac game. I'll wait, boys.
It was 2018. I was.
Wait, what? Off.
It was 2018.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I thought you named me a bad Insomniac game.
No.
Hey, what?
No, what? It's Insomniac, Naughty Dog, like all those developers. Those are Sony's bread and butter right there. Like those guys. Yeah. Those are developers. Those are developers right there.
And yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, shit. We're all hyped. Let's see how this summer goes. And thank you, Tony Todd, for dropping the fucking... just being Tony Todd about it. That's good.
Thank you, Candyman.
Now for a more... Candyman? For a more inconsistent franchise, let's talk about this one and hope it's good. So...
Sorry, real quick, I remembered what I was going to say. Shout out to my boy Patty, who works at Insomniac, and he worked on Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. So, and I think... He said that he's working on Wolverine.
But hell yeah.
Dude. He obviously can't tell me anything because of NDAs and stuff, but, you know, shout out to Patty.
We speculate.
Rep the Part was lit too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He couldn't announce that until it came out, or they announced it officially, and then he's like, yeah, I'm working on that. I was like, you bastard. And I was like, also, let me know if and when they're hiring writers and they want to bring me on.
Gotta respect the NDA, so shout out, dude. That's how you do it. Anyways, Insider Gaming recently dropped some details for the upcoming Feudal Japan Assassin's Creed game.
Let's go.
Codename Red. Is it Red? Yeah, Codename Red. It will star two playable characters, one being a female samurai and the other being an African refugee shinobi.
Oh.
Another big leak is the emphasis on stealth, with an emphasis on hiding bodies, camouflaging in tall grass, and the ability to extinguish lights for shadow gameplay. Discuss. Okay. I mean, they're trying to bring it back to Ezio-style Assassin's Creed, it seems like, right?
From what I can I was gonna say, this kind of ties back into the Battlefield discussion earlier, is the fact that like we're in this next gen. It's like, where is the next gen gameplay, boys? Like, you know, Splinter Cell back two or three generations ago, they had the shadow mechanic, right? Where if you shoot out a light, you create shadows for yourself, right? I mean, what other game has let you do that since then? I mean, I can't think of any.
Yeah,
you know. Ghost of Tsushima didn't really... They had, like, a light stealth mechanic. That was PS4.
You didn't even need to use it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
well, you know, don't need to use it in Assassin's Creed games nowadays, either.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you know, Assassin's Creed games, like, how cool would it be if they let you, like, now... If let's say you're in a hallway of torches or something. What if you can extinguish the torch, and boom, now you have a hiding place, like, right then and there. And it's like... Like, where... I just feel like, as a overall general sense of gameplay, quote-unquote, it doesn't feel like we've hit that next-gen potential in a way.
I would say if you want a stealth game, because you guys know I fucking hate stealth games, but if you want a good stealth game that uses kind of those mechanics, A Plague Tale is what you want.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Because like when you extinguish
that's an indie
those,
game too.
Yeah, and when you extinguish the torches and then the rats go kill whoever's over there, it's such a cool thing that happens. So yeah, if they're using it like that, like it was an indie game. I mean, they made a sequel. I haven't played it yet. Anyway, but that was one of the games that I felt has done stealth the correct way out of like the most recent stealth games.
Yeah, yeah, and see that's the thing too. Like building a game around such a mechanic is, I think, brilliant, and Assassin's Creed was good at doing that. They kind of lost the way, so I'm glad that they're going back in that direction, but I don't know how effective they're gonna be. They've been so out of the game for a while, it feels like.
I don't know if you guys can hear my dog
barking. You can hear the dog in the background.
Oh, great. Bit, yeah. Anyway,
let's pull up that fucking old school PlayStation 4 stream and be like, shut that fucking dog up!
So interestingly, the fact that it's gonna be centered around an African refugee shinobi, I wonder if it's gonna be Yasuke, who was the only known African person in the first foreigner to ever reach samurai status in feudal Japan.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
I mean, they could add the real historic nature of it, like they've kind of done with Assassin's Creed.
Always done that, yeah. They've actually been very good about incorporating that. Not necessarily in the main character, but in the surrounding characters.
Right, so I wonder, I think they made an anime about him too, but I wonder if that's going to be the character that you get to play as.
Yeah, as much as I dog on Assassin's Creed, they really are detailed when it comes to representing history. And actually making it like Assassin's Creed Origins with this Egypt, fucking, like there ain't no game gonna be able to do Egypt like that game.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, I feel like Origins and Bylef are Bayek. Yeah, I'm sorry, Bayek was like
Bylef is your bad character.
Oh my god, this fucking guy. Here we go, boys. No, yeah, Bayek was like, I feel like he was the protagonist for the last three games, you know. Eivor was cool. Yeah, he was a Viking and all that, but I don't know, I just feel like Bayek had that fucking badass / compassionate when he needed to side, you know. So I out of the last three games, I think, you know, I think he was the best. The last dual protagonist was what? Odyssey.
I mean, yeah, Odyssey, but also my boy, the male Mystios in Odyssey. That guy fucks, though. That guy.
Yeah.
he's not as complex as Bayek, obviously, but he's kind of like he's got some swagger, that's for sure. What are you saying, yeah. James?
Oh, I was going to say, dude, don't be disrespecting my boy from Odyssey. That's all I was about to say.
I like Alexios, but, he's considered the non-canonical protagonist. It's Cassandra that's a
mean, that's pretty disrespectful, dude, because he's legit.
Alexios.
Alexios legit,
yeah.
I feel like Alexios was the closest we got to Ezio.
Yeah, he was. Right? He had a lot of Ezio elements to him. He put even more of like a, whatever, just fucking take it or leave it. Like, that, he was really relaxed. I actually really appreciate that.
There's an epic suit of armor where you're literally just in a loincloth and you're all oiled up. And it was literally an epic... epic armor, and I was like, this is amazing. So I'm just rolling around wrecking people all oiled up and half naked in the game. So shout out to Alexios, dude.
Yeah, you know what, even if the Japan one gives me an Alexios style character, now that I think about it, I take it.
All I am gonna say is, like, let's shrink the games down by like three quarters, please.
Yeah. Valhalla is way too big.
Well, I mean, way Odyssey's too massive too.
It's a great Origins game, but goddamn, there's a lot of games.
I started playing Origins not that long ago, and I'm like, okay, it's more linear, so this is better.
Origins because, is like the perfect size, honestly.
Yeah.
Origins is the perfect size, yes.
Yeah, Odyssey, I'm like, and Valhalla, like, are
way too big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like 100, or no, I'm like 60 to 70 hours into Valhalla, and I'm still like not even anywhere near the end. And I'm like, all right, I can't do it.
I give up on Valhalla once a year.
I give a punny once, once a year.
Once I got to 50 hours of Valhalla and I was about halfway through the story, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to ignore these side quests and just go straight for the main story. And when I did the main story, I finally clocked in at 89 hours.
Jesus.
I'm not even joking. I checked the save data. Just doing the main story from the, you know, about the 50, 60 hour mark was... Mm-hmm. 30 hours of like the rest of the story was fucking just straight main story missions, not fucking around with side quests or anything. Meanwhile, I was able to platinum Origins at the 55 hour mark. So,
yeah, because it respects your time.
Yes,
yeah, respect our time, Assassin's Creed, please. I know you're sending out like 20 games in the next 10 years, but please, at least one of them respect our time. We can't play all of them.
Exactly.
Speaking of a game that respects you 100%, but also kind of disrespects you sometimes, James, please.
Breath of the Wild 3.
oh, my God.
So, we're going to get into shortly. Resident Evil 4 is out, and it recently launched a critical and commercial success, which was, of course, going to happen. We figured it was going to happen. We already know we're getting the Mercenary mode, which is going to be coming out for free on April 7th. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But thanks to the PC version of the game, we may have a hint at more planned DLC. Eagle Eye users noticed that in the PC version of the game, there is a directory folder titled Separate Ways. And for people who don't know what Separate Ways is, it was the extra, campaign with Ada Wong back in the day.
Yeah,
it had a different title in Japan, but in America, it was called Separate Ways. So it sounds like we're going to get another Ada Wong DLC pack.
Cool. Give it to me.
But speaking of mercenaries, data miners have discovered even more, this time potentially uncovering the playable characters that we are going to get in Mercenaries, which includes two versions of Leon, two versions of Ada Wong, Louis Serra, Hunk, Krauser, and Return of the Man himself, Wesker.
Let's fucking go, as the kids say, dude. Okay.
But which Wesker are we going to get? Are we going to get Resident Evil 5 Wesker?
Yes, we better get 5.
None of us have beat the game yet, so we don't know which Wesker yet. I gotta say, though, Mercenaries with this fight, this is the best combat engine for Resident Evil Capcom has had yet. Since to me, 5 was the pinnacle, this is right next to it. If we can co-op Mercenaries, please. Please, Capcom, let us co-op Mercenaries.
Yeah, I was gonna say, fucking, dude, stop with the bullshit. Bring in the raid type of co-op from Revelations to the main series with Horde, and let's start it, dude.
That combat is just something else. Dude, I want to parry, everything. Break my fucking knife, let me find another one. That's fine. Also, Luis Serra in this game, that's my boy. Luis Serra is a great rendition of that character, so I'm using him for Mercenaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a little bit of a weasel, but I'm sure that's why you like him.
He's smart, damn. Okay? He's a sly.
I don't know, man. I think I'm gonna go the asshole around just rock Krauser.
I know. I knew it. I knew we were gonna rock fucking Krauser, dude. Yeah. We'll call up Luis and Krauser, dude. Let's go.
I was gonna say, wasn't Krauser? Krauser was in the OG Mercenaries for 4,
yeah,
right? Didn't he have a bow and arrow?
He had the bow and arrow, right? Melee too.
Okay. But he's a lot different in this one.
He is. Yeah. He's definitely very, very different in this. Every character's different.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't RE5 have Wesker, two versions of Wesker, though? The STARS version and the RE5 version?
Yeah, it had Wesker. It had Neo Wesker and it had OG Wesker.
Okay, all right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember fucking loving Wesker in RE5 Mercenaries, though, dude.
I'm gonna just throw this out there, you know. If you like it, run with it. If you don't, send it right back.
Send it right back.
Okay, so how about Capcom, why don't you give us Lance Reddick Wesker. Why not, dude?
Or at least a Lance Reddick inspired Wesker, please.
We totally forgot at the top of this episode to give a shout out.
We did.
Yeah.
You know what? Man. Right now, before we get into all the other stuff, I agree with James. Lance Reddick Wesker, dude. Give us a skin.
Yep, give us a skin. Throw him in there because you know what? He matters, dude. He matters a lot.
Yep.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And if you haven't, If you haven't seen John, if you haven't seen John Wick 4, dude, shout out to the boy Lance Reddick, dude. That's his final movie. Well, you know, final John Wick movie, rather. And I just, you know, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, we were going to start this episode off with a shout out to him about all the video game characters he's played.
So many. Yeah.
Yeah. He was Commander Zavala in Destiny 2 for all us Titan people. He was Silas in Horizon. Mm-hmm. The two Horizon games and the DLC. He was also in the Quantum Break game for Xbox. I never got to play it, but I am going to get around to playing it. And he was just all around, like I mentioned, you know, in the last episode and The Horrible Peoples, is the fact that he was like, he was a proud gamer. He streamed Destiny all the time. Like, literally, I read a report that his wife even said the day before he passed away, he was playing Destiny. Like, just, you know, he had a TikTok that said, you know, time to jump back in. And it was him playing Destiny. So he will be sorely missed. We were all going to miss him.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
I mean, it's not actually. Yeah.
Oh, I actually did not know this, but the new Hellboy Web of Word game, he voices Hellboy.
Come on, wow. That's the kind of voice you need for Hellboy right there.
Yeah, this will be one of his posthumous roles, but, you know, there you go. He's going to be Hellboy, so there you go. That's going to be great.
You know, it's nice to have an actor who respects his work and respects his fans. So
Yeah. See, even the dogs love him, dude. They're like,
howling in respect right now.
I would just say she's barking because she misses Lance Reddick. Give me a second.
Man, let's get on the road.
We should take this on the road. I'm talking fucking pigs.
recording again. So we are back.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, well, that was our little tribute to Lance Reddick, obviously. Again, fantastic actor. Respects his work, respects his fans, and just did great things. So just drink into the Lance Reddick there. And also, now that we're back on Resident Evil here, I think we're all playing the same shit, but... What are you playing, guys? What are you playing? Please, whoever wants to talk about it, just go.
What are you buying?
Oh, James changed it, dude. He said, don't worry about what I'm playing. But yeah, we're all playing Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4, and I'm also playing Marvel Snap every day because I'm addicted.
They got you.
I mean...
Gotcha, bitch.
I'm not ranked the highest, but I've been ranked pretty high since it's the last 3 months. Watching strat videos and interacting with like some of the best players in the world. I'm hopeless. I'm addicted, dude.
When you get into the meta, when you get into the meta, you're like,
I've never liked card games till this one, ever.
Really?
I tried playing it, but I don't know. There was some, like, I get it. Like, I saw the potential, but I'm like, yeah, I don't want to keep going.
You know what?
I was like, that's cool.
Nah, but you keep saying you get things, but I don't think you get things.
Right? I know, right? That's what's going
on. No, it's just different. It's a more simplistic like card battle game, and like, you know, being a Marvel fan, it's just, you know, right up my alley. I'm like, cool, I know all these people, and it's fun, and you know.
I heard Slay the Spire is a good card game as well. I never played that one though.
I don't even know what it is.
Oh yeah, it's a very popular one, I think, in the same vein. But anyways, you know, that's card games. We were talking about something that is not a card game, that's for sure. What are you guys' thoughts on Resident Evil 4 so far? I know we're all at different points. I'm in the last chapter, essentially. James, you were the second. I mean, you're basically right behind me.
Yeah, I nearly caught up. Like, I haven't put it down since I started playing it. I knew that was gonna happen, and it sucks because like, I got so derailed from playing Hogwarts Legacy, and now I'm like, I'm just playing Resident Evil.
So, I'm going to do a second playthrough of Resident Evil, and that's less time for Hogwarts, because it's so good, I want to go back New Game Plus.
I mean, I'm not going to do that, but, you know, I'm going to beat it.
Sorry, I don't know if that burp got picked up on the mic, but, yeah, I agree with you guys. I I'll get into a little layer with the later. I'm sorry, with the whole, you know, wins, but Resident Evil has been killing it with these fucking remakes, man. Like, the only black eye, quote unquote, is Resident Evil 3, but even that wasn't that bad.
No, it's a good game for $20.
It's yeah, I was gonna exactly when you took it out of my you took the words out of my mouth. It's like, dude, for $20, that shit would have been a steal. For $60, but you know,
it's the, like, Reaper, dude. 60.
But, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I was, when they first announced it, I was thinking, I'm like, well, the first game's already perfect. What the fuck can you do to remake it? And they show what they can do to remake it. And I love, like you said, you mentioned low earlier, you know, the parry system is awesome.
Oof, amazing.
The like, so far, the story beats, they're not distracting to me. You know, I think we talked about this in the spinoff episode of the Horrible People's podcast where, you know, it was just corny fun. The OG Resident Evil was corny fun with the one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad that the one-liners still exist in this one.
Oh, yeah. All just, throughout the game, too. You know, it's great.
Yeah. And, you know, fucking Leon is just... I'm not going to lie. There was a part of me that was a little apprehensive when I saw what they did with that whole, like, Captain America type of Leon in Resident Evil 2 where he's like, I'm going to save you guys type of thing, mm-hmm. you know? And then I was like, well, how the fuck are they going to, like, you know, translate that to the badass Resident Evil 4 Leon, you know, where he tells people they're small time and fucking no way, bro, shit like that. And I think they pulled it off.
I think they did. They kept him within character of his two, but also, like, made a point, like, he has grown and he is badass and he is good and he knows it. So he's definitely within character, but I think what they did good with this game story-wise is it's still the Leon that, like, he really gives a shit. Like, he actually, yeah. You can tell he's going 100 in everything. But also, he learned how to toy with his enemies, which is fucking awesome. The gameplay for this game, again, I've talked about this in previous podcasts. I play Resident Evil 4 once a year. I've been playing it once a year since it came out in 2005. It is my second favorite game of all time, next to Breath of the Wild. Like, it is a very important game to me. This game outclasses the original in almost every way. I did not think I would say that.
I was going to say, are you going to play this one every year now? Or are you still going to go back to the OG?
No, I'm playing this one every year now. I played that one for the past, like, 20, 15 years, whatever how long it's been. It's now time to incorporate this one into the rotation. So, yeah.
Damn.
It really is, like, it's, if you're a purist like me or somebody who's just played Resident Evil 4 this much, the level of subversion in just the moment-to-moment gameplay, you're like, oh, fuck, that's different. To the point where when something's one-to-one, I'm like, oh, okay. It just brings you back. The combat, fucking amazing. The characters, all great. All good expansions on previous characters. The only one I'm a little iffy on is Krauser, but only because it's not necessarily...
It's just different.
It's a very different Krauser. But... Again, like, Louise, great Ashley. Ashley is so much less annoying in this fucking game. It is a godsend. Thank God.
Yeah, the only thing that's more annoying is I keep killing her. But that's
yeah, but I killed her just as much in the old one anyways, you know? So it's not that different.
I'm killing her more because I think the weaponry is, like, a lot more advanced.
Yeah, that's true. That I think the way that they carry... because the enemy won't immediately drop Ashley when you shoot him once, so there's more... I'm shooting them more times for the same result, which is more time likely she is to get shot in the head. Definitely.
Yeah, I know. And then, sorry to throw a little spoilers out there, but I have the pistol that's like rapid fire, and I was trying to save her and shot her in the face.
It's anyway. Blacktail, right?
Yeah,
it's Blacktail.
No, Matilda. No,
Matilda. You're right, the Matilda. Oh my god, dude. Okay, anyway, yeah, I feel like this gun or this series, Resident Evil 4, whatever your pistol of choice is like your personality right there. It's what it says. It's your horoscope. It's what it says about you.
Sure, yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's go with that.
I am glad they didn't change up the merchant, which was, I was like, let's just hope that he doesn't sound different.
Yeah. No.
I don't know, dude. I was going to say, I first got to him in Chapter 3, and I was like, I prefer the OG merchant voice, but this guy sounds like he's trying a little too hard, but... That's my
one peak. How dare you?
You know what? I can see that impression.
No? I'm alone in this?
I can see that impression early on in the game, but as the game goes along and that the merchant is so much more frequent and such a godsend between segments, you're like, nah, I love this guy. Like, even his expanded dialogue, I'm with
it. Okay, I mean, I'll hold judgment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
okay, I'll hold judgment, but when I first heard him, I'm a little like, oof.
He has more to say.
Just wait... Just wait until you start hearing his one-liners. Yeah. They're great.
His own specific one-liners that were not in the other game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're fantastic.
The merchant has one-liners now. They're great.
They're so goddamn good. Damn. Like, I fucking love... No, all yeah, right. This merchant, fantastic. Again, it's just... It's the same general game with enough variations and enough expansions, and it plays differently, so it just... I don't know. It's almost the perfect game to me. I'm not done with it yet. I have one more chapter. Literally in the last chapter. So unless they really drop the ball, you know, it's going to be a GOAT contender absolutely for me. But again, I'm a Resident Evil fanboy, and 4 is my, again, second favorite. But this is so far very much supplanting it. So much so that my other game I've been playing, I had to watch podcast stuff for horrible people and, like, you know... I still needed my Resident Evil fix, so I bought Resident Evil Revelations 1 on the Switch for $7. And, yeah, I love that game, too. Yeah.
Nice.
It's still great. It's definitely a way more simple than most Resident Evils, but I think that it's much more simple makes it its own appeal. So, yeah. Mm. Give me both. I'm double dipping Resident Evil this past couple weeks, and I am not mad about that. No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any more thoughts on RE4, guys?
No, I think we hyped it up enough, man. If you guys love Resident Evil, go play it.
Yeah. I mean, if you loved 4 and then you love the remakes of 1 and 2, then you're going to love this one, basically.
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually going to try to replay 2 after this one because I'm just feeling it. And then on that topic, my win for the month so far is, and I think Cordova, this is similar to yours, it's just Capcom. Mm-hmm. Capcom, they have been one of the most consistent developers since Resident Evil 6 when they knew they dropped the ball. Since then, with Devil May Cry 5, which is hugely critically acclaimed, they're trying to fix things with Street Fighter 6, and they're showing out some footage and stuff for fans who seem to be very excited about it. Please give us another Mega Man. But, you know, I think Capcom, over the past half decade or so, has really been just upping their game, and Resident Evil 4 is like the culmination of that. But yeah, my shout out is to just Capcom generally. I'm glad that all these efforts they're making, they're seeing monetary success with each and every installment, everything they do. Like, this is their best that they've probably ever been, and
yeah, they've been great. I was gonna say if I can jump in before James says his, because mine kind of ties into yours one, but you know, like you just said, I mean, they heard the criticism from Devil May Cry 4, and then they came back with Devil May Cry 5, which is, like, to me, it's up there with 3 as one of the best Devil May Cry games, but just because they heard everyone's critique of 4, like I said, and they're like, you know what? You guys want fucking high-octane action with Dante and his brother and fucking all that shit? Like, here you go. And they gave it to us, and that shit is, like I said, on par with 3, which was considered the best Devil May Cry game. And, you know, Resident Evil, like I mentioned a little earlier, the only issue I have with the remakes is the fact that 3 was not worth $60, but it was still a good game, like you said, right?
Yeah, great game. Well, great. Very good.
I feel like it was missing maybe 25 to 45% of the OG Resident Evil 3, which I don't know if they just cut that because of time constraints or whatnot, but if they would have remade it on the same level as 2, it would have been just as good as 2, I feel.
I agree. Yeah. Don't cut away, you know.
Yeah. They took out all sections of 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the OG 3, which is the one criticism I have of that. But, you know, Resident Evil 1 remake back on the GameCube and the remasters they did, still amazing to this day. And Resident Evil 2 remake, amazing. And then Resident Evil 4, like I said, if they're going to do 5 and 6 this way, like, you know, sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, whoa.
Let's go ahead and skip 6. We don't need to.
I'm just saying.
Let's redo 6 good.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they do 6, but like really go all out like they have these last remakes, I think it would be interesting to see what they do with it. You know?
They can change the gunplay for 1. Because that shit was terrible.
Yeah. The whole diving and dual wielding was weird. Yeah.
Let's get rid of that, right?
And I will say right now, I'm going to go on record saying that before they do 5, give us a Resident Evil Code Veronica remake in the same engine as 2, 3, and 4. Like, people have been fucking clamoring and fucking fiending for a Resident Evil Code Veronica remake.
I mean, this. Yeah, that's true. But, man, I want to see 5. I really want to see
what they do with 5.
Like, that to me is like, ooh, if I can get that as soon as possible, please.
I get it, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, I go on Twitter and I see everyone talking about 4, and the overwhelming consensus is like, give us 0 or Code Veronica remade in this type of engine before you give us 5.
Let's pump the brakes here, okay? we don't want Capcom to get overworked. So before all of that can happen, how about you deliver 9 first? How about we do that?
Then
let's get into the remakes, all right? Because they did say it's going to be a trilogy, and I want the story to end. Yeah. I mean, I want to see what happens next, because 7 and 8 have been like my favorites. They're great games. So.
They really are great games.
Has anyone here ever? Did you guys end up playing through Village in third person? Or
yes, no,
yes, so, I did.
Going back to what Fwen was saying about how he bought Revelations, once I finish 4, I'm gonna buy the DLC because I didn't like. There's so much that came out, and I just didn't have the time, so I haven't played the DLC yet. So I want to, you know, finish. I want to play the new story first of all. And then I also do want to play the new game, or I want to play Village in third person, except for the dull part. I don't want to play that part.
I will say in third person, it translates incredibly well. Like, it's actually really, really good.
I've seen gameplay, and now after playing 4, I already decided that's going to be my next purchase.
Please. Like, dude. Because they
I want to replay Village in third person like Resident Evil 4 now.
Yeah, okay, so it plays a little differently than it does in first, obviously, but even down to the movement and stuff, but it's not unpolished. Like, it doesn't feel like... It feels like it's an organic just way of playing the fucking game, which is great, because you can't switch on the fly. You literally, before you start the game, it's like, hey, if you want to do third person, like, it's going to change some things, but just pick it now. And then, I did it, and... Whew, man, that's... And again, Village is much more Metroidvania than 4. So it's because the whole Village aspect itself has a lot of unlockable paths and things like that. Yeah. It really is, like, its own... The post-6 series, 7 and 8, and hopefully 9, they really do feel like their own thing. And, like, I'm with you, Jake, on that one. Like, I am waiting for 9. Give me 9, and then give me 5. How about that?
Yeah.
Give me 9, give me 5 after that. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, 7 brought the horror back to Resident Evil, and 8 was, like, kind of like the good combination of horror and action.
Mm-hmm.
Capcom, don't listen to the people that were too scared of 7, so you had to dumb it down for 8. Just go back to being really scary for 9 to finish it off. How about that? Let's just do that.
You know what, though? 7 is one of Capcom's best-selling games ever. And
that game's amazing, and it's so fucking scary. It still scares me. That is one of the very few games recently, and just in general, that I've replayed. I think I've replayed it 3 times so far.
Dude.
And each time that I've played it, I'm like, it still scares the shit out of me.
Play in VR, bitch. Just fucking do it.
Not to drag it out, but I saw a clip of someone playing 8 in VR on the PlayStation VR 2.
Hell no.
And the dull part, God, the guy was screaming at the top of his lungs.
I
totally agree with him. I would be doing the same thing.
I scream with it in controller in my hand, dude.
When it came out, when Village came out, I bought it day one and I couldn't put it down. Like, I was just playing it. And the moment that I got to that part, I want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't played it yet, but the moment that I got to that part, I was playing at night, as you do.
Yeah.
The lights were all off. I didn't have my headphones on, but it was still, I was playing it. And the moment that that part happened, I audibly said very loud, "You've got to be fucking kidding me." And, like, I literally was not okay. Like, I had to watch the happiest programs and watch and do the happiest things for like 2 weeks straight because I was so disturbed by that fucking part.
They're like, okay, Forrest Gump's gonna be on again for the fifth time.
Yeah. Dude, I was so like bothered. Like, I literally, like, I feel like that was the only moment in my life where I had PTSD.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
And there's no fucking way I'm gonna play that in VR. There's just no way.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, give us 9. You're right. See, goddamn Capcom. Yeah, Capcom's my win. They're my win of the past half decade, but for this month in particular, good fucking job. Because, like, really.
Yeah.
Great experiences. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, James, obviously, you have a whole different win of the month here for...
Yeah, I mean, I did this just to kind of mess with Alex because... It's fine. Yeah, it's I would say that even though it just happened, the Breath of the Wild 2 footage is my win of the month just because, I mean, we had our little trailer and we had our little idea of what, you know, we were going to be getting into with the sequel, and now we have a much bigger idea. But just to echo what you said earlier, Fwen, we don't have the full idea or anything close to it. Mm-hmm. And we've only been given like certain tools, and I'm already excited to play just because of, again, building games are not my forte. I don't like them. I don't care for them. But the way that Legend of Zelda did it in Breath of the Wild, it made it fun, and I can see a lot of fun happening with the footage that they showed, especially with the fuse aspect of creating new weapons.
Oh, it's so, gonna be great.
Yeah, I'm so in. I can't wait to play it.
Same. 5 weeks. 5 weeks. I'm just waiting.
That's not a long time.
I know. Oh, please get my life together before that. All right.
I know. I gotta finish Resident Evil 4 and I gotta finish Hogwarts by the time that comes
Seriously,
out.
Yeah, because that's... I mean, obviously I'm part-time right now, but like, if I am full-time, I'm still gonna take a day. I'm still gonna take a day for Breath of the Wild 2, Tears of the Kingdom, you know.
Yep. I'm just gonna tell my team at work, I'm like, I'm not coming in.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like Bobby B in Night's Tale would be like, yeah. That's how I feel right now.
Oh, but you know, we're gonna go the opposite. We're gonna go to our fails, and we all have pretty distinct fails. And wow, okay. So my fail in particular, based off of what I've seen online, Last of Us PC. Come the fuck on, like.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, you're coming off the hottest TV show of all the year and one of HBO's new flagships. You're coming off of like renewed interest in this major franchise that is one of the best stories ever told in video games, and you're gonna give us this shit, this piss poor PC port, like that. As PCs are becoming more popular, like what the I've hell?
Seen, yeah, I've seen people's like gameplays, quote unquote, of it, and I was like, man, I'm really glad I can just, if I wanted to, play that on a PlayStation 5 and not PC. So
they're making a case for consoles.
They totally half-assed it, and I'm a little disappointed. I'm not gonna lie. In Naughty Dog and the developer they outsourced it to, and all that jazz. You know, they cash in is what sums it up.
It
they
feels tried like to a cash in. Yeah.
Yeah. To say, let's get this done as quickly as possible so that everyone who watched it can try to play it, and they didn't put the love and care into it like they did the PlayStation 5 version of Last of Us 2, which was made by Naughty Dog as a free patch, you know, like a free update.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I recently beat that, and I was telling James, like, man, this fucking game feels like a PlayStation 5 game, but yet it's a PlayStation 4 game. So... you know, the fact that Naughty Dog put that much love and care into that patch, but couldn't, like, cross-check or quality-check the PC version of the classic. Like, and I'm not going to... I don't want to get into it, but, like, more... I feel like more people prefer Part 1 to Part 2 for their own preference, which is fine. But they dropped the ball with it. So now, you know, it's just, yeah, I agree with you on that fail, Flynn. I get it.
It's a meme factor right now, dude, and I hate to see it for a game that, to me, even though, like, you know, obviously I'm not a PlayStation guy, but anybody can acknowledge The Last of Us is an amazing piece of software, it's an amazing story, and also an amazing TV show, and you're besmirching it. Like, it's never been besmirched like this. That's really unfortunate, and that, to me, is a big fail. Naughty Dog deserves a spotlight. I'm sorry. Yeah, terrible.
I get it.
Oh, James has one that hits close to home, unfortunately, too, but it is a definite fail for you. Sure. Yeah.
For you.
So, It has been announced that Multiverses is shutting down. Hey, everybody. Remember Multiverses? Well, we kind of do. Multiverses was the Warner Brothers version of Smash Brothers. And honestly, it was kind of fun in the beginning.
Yes.
You know, we fell off a lot on it, and we do still prefer to play Super Smash Brothers. But Multiverses had a lot of promise. However, they are shutting it down all the way until 2024. Yeah. And not only that, but people who have already spent a lot of money on cosmetics and things in the game, you cannot get a refund. And you're not going to be able to play online until it relaunches as a paid game. It was free. We got two seasons of it for free. But now early access is ending. And Warner Brothers is shooting itself in the foot by how they are handling this. It is a big fail. I don't understand why they're doing this. They said they're going to come back with a bunch of new modes and new characters and cosmetics, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, a lot of live service games didn't have to shut down for an extended period of time between their open beta stages and the actual release of the game. Like, Fortnite never did that. Fortnite was open beta forever, and then they just became a fully launched game. So, mm-hmm. I don't know why they're going this route and why they have to stop, the servers from being live. But to me, that's a really big fail. And, I mean, again, we kind of fell off of it, but I think this is going to make a lot of people really pissed, and I don't think a lot of people are going to go back to playing it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I feel like maybe... I think they're thinking, okay, we'll bank some content and we'll do a big marketing push, and it's just corporate bullshit because their user base is down. And their user base wouldn't be down if they were more consistent with their rollout of content, and if they fixed a lot of the issues that people had early on with hitboxes and stuff like that. They let everything fester too much because it really was a genuine competitor to Smash in some points.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a proper arena.
Right.
You know, they were missing some of the basics that would have given people more of a reason to stick with it.
And well, I mean, I think the biggest thing, too, one of the biggest things that people need in games like this is they need balance. And there were so many characters that were so unbalanced, which is why, like, I stopped playing online, because you could literally get comboed by, like, someone like Bugs Bunny, and there was, like, really no answer. There was no answer for it. Yeah. There was literally no, like, you couldn't do, or it was that or the Iron Giant was one of the most unbalanced characters. God. And I don't know if they didn't have the right team in place or whatever, whoever was running the development side of it for like balance changes. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was literally getting wrecked by Iron Giants online. Like, they were just it was nonstop combos, and you know. But I think that's one of, you know, maybe that's because of hitboxes as well.
Yeah.
It was just horribly unbalanced, and, you know, maybe that's what causing them to shut everything down so they could retool the entire game. But again, that's going to make everybody forget about it.
I agree with that. Also, man, you bring it up. Fuck, see, that's why it was okay for a while, because, like, characters like Bugs Bunny, whatever, even if they're a little OP, they felt good to play as. Like, a lot of the characters, actually, they did not feel like Smash clones. They really did have their own way of going about things. It's just that they weren't ready. They weren't ready for the fucking big time.
No.
Should have just given to us a $60 game, fully polished, ready to go. Would have bought that shit. We'd have been playing that locally. It would have been fucking fantastic. But they didn't. So
yeah, it's a little weird to, like, say that they're, like, quote-unquote, taking it offline for however long. And then saying it'll come back in 2024. That, like, I've seen people say, like, that sounds shady as fuck. Because, like,
it does.
Right.
Developers have a plan. Hey, we're gonna take it offline for 3 months. We'll be back in summer of 2023. But the fact that they're saying sometime in 2024, people are like, "Yo, what the fuck? I just dropped like $100 in here."
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know. So
exactly.
I get that.
It's a rug pull. Fucking rug pull, dude.
And it's kind of crazy because it won Best Fighting Game of 2022, and it was part of Evo. So, like, there was obviously the community was there for it.
Yeah, competitive players love this shit.
Right, and like it had such promise in the beginning, but you know that it's a tragedy. And again, to take it offline for a year or longer, that's just gonna tank it.
Yeah, honestly, the free to play model I think is what fucked it initially too. Like if it had just been a game, and then give us a DLC like Smash, man, just give it to us like that.
Yeah,
I would have been happy to play it. Bring it to the things, and like really, cause like, but then again, the mechanics weren't 100% there. Hopefully they'll be there, but we might not be there. So, I don't fucking see. Yeah, multiverses fail. I'm with it.
Mm-hmm. So, And to wrap up the failing so far this month, I just want to say a shout out. Rest in peace to the Nintendo 3DS and the Nintendo Wii U shops. They are offline, gone forever.
They're officially dead?
They're officially done.
Another instance of servers fucking over consumers, because now all those virtual console games are now gone unless you emulate them.
Yep, I agree. And man, that 3DS had some great fucking software to download.
I was going to say, even, like, dude, the Wii and the Wii U had the best virtual console games, where I'm, like, super chapped than Nintendo. And Nintendo knows that if people had that model again, they wouldn't need the quote-unquote Nintendo Online.
Oh, no, people would own the shit forever.
Yeah, exactly, right? And Nintendo knows that, and they don't want to give people that, and people want that. So that's just another reason that it's just like, dude... The Wii and the Wii U eShop were just like, you know, buy a virtual console game, have it, you know, for as long as you have the console, and that's it. You know, you don't need to subscribe, quote unquote, to this shit. You can just have it. So that's why that's my fail. It's gone forever. I'm sorry if you missed out on it, guys. It was golden years. Really was.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
My 3DS has a lot of great software on it, so that's all it's going to have now. So there you go. That's all it's going to fucking have, but what it has on there is pretty fantastic. I'm thankful to have it as a backup. Yes. Good Pokemon Crystal, still an amazing soundtrack. There we go. I will just have it open when
it's,
I need
it. It's a blow to people like getting into gaming, wanting to see the history of it. Because now, if they want to play those old Nintendo, Super Nintendo, GameCube, Wii games, they're going to have to go drop hundreds of dollars for a system to play it. And that's just a loss for everyone. You know?
I'm with it. That's a fail. So, that is a fail.
Or if you don't want to do that, just emulate it, boys. Hey.
Nope.
He's like, nope.
Nope. I would rather rent my games. Thank you.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, we're all in the family plan here, okay? But Resident Evil did take time away from Metroid Fusion, which I'm pretty sad about. But I'll come back to it. I'm almost done. Great game. All right. We're going to wrap it up with our absurd headline, which is pretty funny because I always love poking fun at politicians. So this is great. U.S. members of Congress accuse Sony of blatant anti-competitive conduct in their home country of Japan. So, of course, unable to contain their patriotism, six members of Congress have accused Sony of anti-competitive practices in Japan, saying, quote, "We understand that Sony, which holds 98% of the market, pays third-party game publishers not to make their content available on Xbox and systematically negotiates exclusivity arrangements that keep the most popular games in Japan off Xbox."
Oof.
Yeah, well, what do you want to do?
I mean, dude, I read that and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, who came up with that percentage? Because if that's the case, how is Microsoft and Nintendo still in business if Sony owns... what was it, 95, 98% of the market?
No, it's the high end.
Oh, the high end.
It's the high end. But even then, it's kind of a bullshit thing because people...
Exactly.
Nobody cares that much. Nobody really cares that much. I don't know.
I mean, supply and demand, dude. Nobody's buying Xboxes the way they're buying PlayStation, so who cares?
Yeah. Honestly. I got the Xbox Series S because it was fucking cheap. It really is just like an insanely cheap, small device that you can just tuck in a corner. That's it. And the thing is, it wasn't a powerhouse. It's not a powerhouse system. It doesn't need to be. And Sony, they just know what people want in their market. They could say the same criticism for Nintendo. Nintendo's not one of the high-end ones, but it still has a gigantic market share in Japan that trounces Xbox. So, you know... Japanese people like games from Japanese companies. What do you want to do?
I was gonna say I barely think the last 2 months Sony barely beat out the Switch with the PS5 as far as sales figures.
Yeah.
So
you don't see Sony bitching.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Switch came out in 2017. The PS5 came out at the end of 2020 or 2021. No, 2021, I believe, and you know, here we are in 2023 and Sony barely has started to outsell the Switch. So to me, even as a Sony fanboy and whatnot, like, yeah, this is a bullshit statement. Like,
Yeah.
You know, they're all scared of Microsoft buying Activision, and it's just, yeah.
That's not our, it's not a monopoly unless we make it a monopoly. It has to be American monopoly.
The fact that they're going to politicians and like they're pointing and saying, "There he is, officer." You know?
It was him. It was the Warriors.
Yeah. Yep.
It was Naughty Dog.
Yep. It was Activision. You know, it's bullshit. I mean,
That's so funny. No, it is absurd. If that's why it's the absurd headline, that's it.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree. So,
mm-hmm. All right, well, shit. I think that's it, guys. That was fun. All right, cool. Well, you know, a lot of Resident Evil love here, a lot of Tears of the Kingdom controversy, and good old American. But that's the NPC podcast, episode number 3 for the first week of April. We'll check back in 2 weeks and see where the stories align. And then, just by the way, we did call a couple of them. Counter-Strike 2, baby. That's right. Called it on this podcast. Anyway, so you can find us on npc.gaming.pod on Instagram. Please subscribe and rate 5 stars wherever you listen, particularly iTunes and Spotify. And also, you know what? Respect to Capcom and Lance Reddick. RIP, buddy.
Mm-hmm. 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 I'm gonna pound the rest of this claw I'm drinking right now for you, bud. Lance Reddick, Commander Zavala.
I'm with it. All right.
Whether we want it or not, bud.
Adios. Right, see you guys.
Later, guys.
Later.